Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Today is July 1st, and it's been a pretty busy time here lately in the work and even in my personal life. Last week on the 26th, I got to celebrate my 3-year wedding anniversary. Then my daughter turned 2 yesterday. Also yesterday here on campus, there were the intramural softball all-star games, which also doubled as a going away party for my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Wayne Turgeon, who will be going over to the Edstone campus. Actually, we're driving to the airport after this show. So definitely a lot going on. Today is July 1st. I saw that this day is known as Bobby Bonilla Day. He actually was a baseball player for the New York Mets. And back in 2000, the Mets didn't want him on the team anymore, so they agreed to buy out the rest of his contract. And it was an interesting setup where every year on July 1st, actually starting in 2011, he would get paid $1.2 million. And that will last until 2035. So he stopped playing for the Mets in 2000 and then started getting a $1.2 million payout on this day every year back in 2011. And that's going to last for 25 years. So one of the most strange contracts I've ever heard about. So that's a little interesting fact about July 1st. Obviously, recently, there have been a lot of personal appearance campaigns, June 23rd and 24th in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, and then June 25th in Spokane, Washington. Evangelist Stephen Fleury delivered all 3 lectures to Trumpet subscribers. On the first night in Red Deer, 177 attended, including 66 non-members. On the second night, there were 110 in attendance, 110, including 27 non-members. And then at the next night's campaign in Spokane, 107 attended, including 74 non-members. These 74 non-members actually represented a 73% follow-through rate. So that means of all the people not in the church who requested tickets, 73% of them actually showed up. And that's the highest percentage turnout since the campaigns restarted back in 2017. And from that campaign, 10 individuals also signed up to attend the follow-up Bible study. I thought it was pretty funny. Last week, Mr. Stephen Fleury on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show was recapping the campaigns. And he talked a while, I think it was last Wednesday's program, about specifically the event in Spokane, Washington. He grew up in Washington State and described that trip back there last week as a trip down memory lane. And at one point in one of the lecture, he was saying how he wanted to take the drive from Spokane down to Pasco, Washington, in the southeast corner of the state where he grew up. And one audience member actually yelled out, "Boring." So I guess that's a pretty barren, dry, boring drive. And that audience member had the gumption to let him know. So that was actually played on the Wednesday program last week. And of course, there's another personal appearance campaign going on right now in New York City. Yesterday was the first night of that event. There were 210 in attendance, and 34 non-members have already signed up for a follow-up Bible study. That's a tremendous amount there. And then the second night of that New York City event will be tonight. Then tomorrow, there's another one in Memphis, Tennessee. Then Mr. Stephen Fleury will be going to Phoenix on July 14th, Los Angeles July 15th, and Sacramento on July 16th. And during those campaigns, he'll be briefly stepping away from his job as Philadelphia Youth Camp Director between July 9th and 29th. He also gave the Bible study on Friday and continues to do the Trumpet Daily Radio Show every day, even if it's from his hotel during one of these campaign trips. So he's been really busy ever since he got here to Edmond on June 13th. Well, today I just want to talk about your part in God's work. Your part, specifically you, the listener. You are an extremely important part of God's work. You are special. You are loved. God values you tremendously. In the January, February 2002 Royal Vision, Mr. Ryan Malone wrote an article titled Full Time in the Work. And here's his introduction. With a myriad of exciting developments occurring at the headquarters of God's last hour work, many scattered church members and co-workers look longingly upon Edmond, Oklahoma, as the place to be. With the development of 160 acres of land, the commencement of Imperial College, it used to be called, huge doors opening for the television and print media of the work, many long to be in Edmond, thinking if only they were full-time in God's work, then they would really be able to serve God. If only they could open the mail, answer the phones, work on the land, repair equipment, mop the floors, anything to be in the work. Yearning to serve in these capacities is completely natural, quite common, totally understandable, and even commendable. But there is something you must first realize. You are already serving full-time in God's work. Whether employed by the Philadelphia Church of God Incorporated or not, you are actively serving God and His work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes, despite age, financial status, or education, you are being used in God's work. And I just wanted to mention here that it can be something that comes up in conversation quite a lot with members in the field. Where they do definitely want to be here in Edmond. But as is always said, the grass is greener on the other side. Just remember that headquarters is here in Oklahoma. This is my favorite place on earth, but a lot of people who are here are transplants, and they actually insult this place quite frequently. You have to remember this isn't your typical vacation hotspot. It's not in Hawaii or Fiji or on the beaches of Mexico. And also realize that the people here even prefer fewer congregational activities, while you out in the field might prefer more. So it seems like maybe where we are seems less desirable than where we could be. Another example is just the simple fact that here at headquarters, we have Bible studies on Friday nights and then services on Saturday, while people out in the field have double services on Saturday and no Friday night Bible study. So a lot of people here would like to condense it all into one day, but a lot of people out in the field would like to make that Saturday a little bit shorter and have a Friday night Bible study too. So it's definitely important to just be positive, to be content where we are, like the Apostle Paul said. Now, like I was saying, it is really important to realize that God does value each one of us. There's a lot of scriptural proof for that. John 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then Jude 1 says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." These scriptures show that God the Father is personally involved with converting each one of us to His way of life. This is a process that often takes many years. Here's what Pastor General Gerald Flurry wrote on page 9 of the Jude booklet. "So before God invited you, you had a history with God. Every one of us had some history with God before we were invited. We were under the closest scrutiny by the Father, probably for years, before we were invited. During that period of time, Christ had to preserve and protect us from Satan. Then, when and if we are ready, the Father invites us into His family. God even has to prepare us for the invitation. If God invites us, at this point He knows that our chances of being born into His family are excellent." Another scripture here, Luke 14, verse 33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." So we're talking about a massive sacrifice here, giving up everything. Would God really ask you to do that, to be a part of his work, if your contributions were insignificant, if God could take it or leave it, if you were only needed for your money, but not to grow in God's character? Let's think about how rare each converted member of the Philadelphia Church of God is. Right now, the worldwide population is about 7.5 billion people. God says his saints will number 10,000 at Christ's return. So that's 10,000 out of 7.5 billion. That's one true Christian for every 750,000 people on earth. The odds that God would choose you are astronomical. The sacrifice he asks of you is also astronomical. He spends years bringing you along. If you were not a vital part of God's work, none of this would make any sense. Here's what the late educator Herbert W. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages on pages 267 and 268. The apostles, evangelists, pastors, and elders could not carry on the work of God without the loyal backing and continual encouragement of the lay members. Neither can the individual lay member develop and build within him God's character without the operations of the apostle, evangelists, pastors, and elders. All these various members God has set in his church are mutually dependent on one another. They form a team, an organized spiritual organism. There's a beautiful analogy to illustrate that point in 1 Corinthians 12, where God compares members of the church to members of a physical body, and how you definitely would rather have both of your arms. You definitely want to have feet and toes. You want to have all of your organs. You want to have a head, obviously. It would make no sense to look down upon certain parts of your body. It wouldn't do you any good to be missing any of those body parts. And that's how it is in the church as well. And no matter what body part we might be analogous to, every body part does matter. And it says there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So more feeble or seemingly less vital to the functioning of the body, they're very necessary, and perhaps a lot more necessary than we realize. Just imagine how the current personal appearance campaign in New York City would go if dependent on Mr. Stephen Fleury alone. Without the financial contributions of thousands of members, coworkers, and donors, there would be no PCG, G450 aircraft or pilots. There would be no support staff to travel with Mr. Fleury and handle the logistics, meals, and technology. There would have been no Trumpet Daily Radio show from his hotel just this morning. There would be no KPCG radio station at all. There would be no member volunteers at the event tonight to scan tickets or offer PCG literature to attendees. There would be no other ministers there to speak with the many curious audience members. The pack would not be happening right now if not for the many and various contributions of devoted people like you. Mr. Armstrong wrote a lot about that experience as well, how difficult it was for him starting out and how he barely even had enough money to get to and from Sabbath services each week. And he really couldn't expand beyond the state of Oregon until he started getting a lot more help, prayers, financial support, what have you. He definitely couldn't have expanded it to a worldwide work without the help of a lot of dedicated servants, servants of God. 1 Corinthians 12 there continues, verses 26 and 27 say, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. God's church operates as one unit. We laugh together, we cry together, We strengthen each other. We serve each other. We help each other through our trials. Every person counts. Now, the top bullet point in your job description as a full-timer in the work is prayer. Here is what Mr. Stephen Fleury wrote in a September 1998 article titled The 30-Plus Program. Too often, we don't structure our prayers enough because we spend most of our time on the plus and not on the 30. God wants us to be unselfish like Him. Learn that lesson in prayer. Learn to pray for the other first, for the work, then for your family, spiritual and physical, and then you. Establish this pattern of prayer now, while you are young, or while you are new in the faith, or even if you've been in the church for many years, and someday you can advance to the 40-plus program or the hour-plus. So he's talking about minutes there, and how the more we structure our prayers, the more we get our minds off ourselves, the faster our prayer sessions go by, the more effective they can be. And the 30-plus program and the hour-plus program there are based on Christ's prayer outline in Matthew 6. There's a great article from the July-August 2007 Royal Vision, and this is titled Breakthrough to God, written by Mr. Joel Hilliker. And in this article, he barrels through a number of excuses we often make, a number of barriers to effective prayer. And one of these barriers that we all face when we're praying is, I don't know what to pray about. Here's what Mr. Hilliker writes about that. The first way to overcome not knowing what to pray about is to organize your prayers. Now, the fourth part of that 30-plus program that I just mentioned actually involves spending 10 minutes praying for God's work. So 10 minutes out of half an hour should be spent praying for God's work. That is the largest block of time allocated to any part of our prayers in that outline. That involves praying for our pastor general, for each department of the work, that God would bring in more laborers to do the work. Mr. Hilliker continues, if you attend PCG services, listen to the announcements. They often contain information about the work. Take notes. Mr. Fleury's coworker letters are also a good source of information. Church members receive the Philadelphian and now even a weekly PCG News email. A gold mine of information about what is happening in the work. As you hear or read about these bits of news, ask, where might God have to intervene? Beyond listening for prayer requests during announcements, pay attention during your fellowship on the Sabbath. If someone is facing difficulties, take note. Write those things down, then follow up. When you see the person the next week, ask how things are going. Show your concern. This can be a significant part of your Sabbath fellowship. It gives you something to talk about and helps you to get the focus off yourself. Mr. Hilliker has the suggestion, and this is probably something that we just absolutely need to do. He says here, keep a prayer list. You may try keeping a notebook or paper, perhaps a bound notebook with a separate page for each category. A three-ring binder would allow you to add or remove items as necessary. Some people prefer note cards that they can easily rearrange. The important thing is, when items to pray about arise, write them down and later copy them onto your list. Now, these are just some things that I thought of briefly while preparing for this show. A lot of different areas of the work that we can pray about. We know that there's a new Watch Jerusalem magazine, and we can pray for those who are responsible with putting that together. And it's always going to be a challenge getting a new publication up and running like that. And God certainly has huge plans for Jerusalem, even beyond archaeology. And hopefully we can hear some great news about that soon as well. Obviously, these personal appearance campaigns and Mr. Stephen Fleury basically blitzing North America on these campaigns this summer. There's the youth camp that starts in just a little bit over a week, I believe next Wednesday. You have the ministry, the brethren, the co-workers, the donors, the editorial and publishing department, which has put out over 100 books and booklets and several publications basically that go out every month, numerous websites because of our digital technological gurus. There's a television department that produces The Key of David, both here and over in the United Kingdom. The mail departments here at headquarters, but also at all of our regional offices, dealing with the mail requests or the literature requests, the visit requests from ministers in all of these different regions. You have the custodial department here on campus, keeping the buildings really looking pristine, which can make a wonderful impact on a lot of our visitors as well as making daily life more enjoyable for the rest of us out here. Food services department, landscaping, maintenance, those who are involved with the college and the academy, the regional offices, foreign language translations. The list goes on and on. And when we write these things down, especially, and we do some thought about it, we can really come up with a lot more details, a lot more bullet points to put underneath each of those broader categories. And we actually heard a sermonette a few months ago about using that PCG news email that goes out. Those are usually some timely bits of information about the work. Those are things that will come and go. So maybe we need to pray about it for the next few days or the next week until that event is over. And so those are things that we could write down as a temporary part of our prayer list and then remove those parts once those events are done. Mr. Armstrong often asked the brethren to consider how successful the work would be if dependent only on one individual's prayers. We went through that hypothetical earlier with, if these campaigns were only dependent on Mr. Stephen Fleury right now. Obviously, that is not realistic at all, but it is helpful to analyze ourselves in this way. We can ask ourselves that same question. For example, would certain departments fall into disarray because I neglected to pray for them? What if the only factor determining success or failure of an entire department in God's work came down to your prayers? What if the ministry failed to develop new contacts because of my failure in prayer? This is the way we look at it, where the efforts of one person could make the difference. The more detailed and focused I can get, the better. When my prayers combine with those of thousands of other servants in the work, God will listen and work outstanding miracles. Now, obviously, it's not going to come down to just one person because thousands of us are chipping in and thousands of us are praying about these different details. But that is a good way to look at it. And it is true that one person letting down could slow down the work a little bit, if not cause a total collapse. So that's where we can really help out. That's the number one bullet point in our job description as full-time servants in God's work. It does come down to prayer, and it does help to remember how important we are to God, every single one of us. The Bible says that He could raise up rocks to take our place, but God definitely doesn't want to do that. He wants His children, His future spirit-born sons, to be doing these jobs. He specifically wants each of us involved. Prayer is the first way, but we're going to get into a lot more specifics regarding our full-time roles in God's work on next Monday's show. I'll be back on the radio on Friday at 10 a.m. Central for Trumpet Bookshelf. Thank you very much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.